just a side note, you know, sometimes we know the scripture that with God all things are possible. But sometimes when we're going through life and things are happening in our lives that are just weighing upon our shoulders, sometimes the devil will speak and say things that our God cannot supply and our God cannot give us what we need. And what he's trying to do, the enemy, is to destroy the faith that we have in our God to believe that he can do the impossible. Because, you know, we read it in scriptures. We read about the miraculous things that God has done. You know, and I'll get back to that. I was at a store, and some people that come here, and I was talking to them, and she said, you know, we hear that God has done, can do anything. And we hear that God has done marvelous things years ago. But she said, why aren't we seeing it today? You know, and what she was talking about was healings and stuff like that. People, eyesight coming back. And things are happening that we don't hear about all over the world, people. Our God is a great God. But you see, what the devil will try to do is make our faith sway so that we don't believe anymore that God can do the impossible, that he can bring healing to our bodies. He can do this and he can do that. You know, sometimes the devil will speak those things and our faith will sway a little bit. But you see, we have to get back to what the Word of God says, and we got to get back to the Word of God in believing what he said. Because we know this, if it says it in the Word of God, it's truth. Let me say it again, because we need to get it. If it says it in the Word of God, it is truth. Because our God is not a lying God. Our God is all truth. It says in Scripture that our God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. That what he said he would do thousands of years ago, and what he said he will do today, he will do tomorrow. That he will meet all the needs of his people as we lay it before him, as we come before him with our hearts and our lives. That he brings hope to his people. Today we're going to be looking at two different stories. It is two different stories. But looking at how God can move upon situations, and a lot has to do with us. We're going to look at one story will be about the Samaritan woman at the well. And one will be about Judas. You might say, oh Lord. The betrayer. You know, and how those two can be linked together. And how God moved, and yet the decisions that they made affected them for the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives. I want to read a few scriptures to you. Let's make our declaration before him. As we lift up the Word of God, say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this Word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. People, look, what you hold in your hand is very valuable. What you hold in your hand, many men and women have died for. And yet it has still survived. You know, the the best-selling book every year, they don't even put it on the bestsellers list because it outdoes every other book, is the Bible. It's not the Quran, which is not the Word of God, by far. It's not the Mormon Bible, which is not the Word of God. It's the Word of God, which is the Bible, written by men, moved by the Holy Ghost, as they pinned down the Word of God, as the Spirit of God would come upon them. Praise God, now that we have the Word of God. So what you have in your hand is probably the most valuable thing you have in your home. Don't let it sit on a shelf. Use it. Read it. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your heart. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't understand it. I understand that. I don't understand everything there is in the Word. But as you read it and as you study it, the Word of God becomes alive to you. And it does something to the spirit man on the inside. Because we're made of what? Spirit, soul, and body. You know, it's an amazing thing that God didn't say body, soul, and spirit. We say, well, yeah, we're made of spirit, soul, and body. You know why? Because the body will deteriorate. It will go. But it's that spirit man that will live on forever. I was watching last night. Jelaine and I, we got so interested in this. We were looking for something good to watch. You know how that is. There's not a lot of good stuff, but you're looking for something. And they were talking about history of Alcatraz, you know. Y'all saw that? History. And they were talking about the two escapees and how, you know, they escaped and they were wondering if they were still alive. And they have record that they may be, you know, they're 85 and 84 years old, they would be. But what they did was they took another brother, not those two, that had died years ago. And they took his body out of the grave. They took it out. And they showed it. I mean, they showed it. It was like, that was kind of interesting. I mean, I've never, you know, you walk up to a casket and you see this person, the body in a casket. Without that spirit, it's just like a mannequin. It's nothing. Zero in it. But that's what we see with our physical eyes. And they took that man's body, they took it out of the ground, the coffin and everything. He had been dead over 50-something years. They took it out. They brought it to where it needed to be brought. And they opened it. Because they needed to take a sample of the DNA to see if it would match with bones that they had found around the perimeter of Alcatraz that had washed on. Because some people thought that that was the two guys that had drowned. And so they wanted to see if it would match and all this stuff. It was amazing. 50-something years when they opened it up. Now, the people covered their faces because it smelled bad. But they opened it up. Now, there was bones, but I thought it would have been all bones and just, you know, the clothing and all. But it was like there was stuff over the bones. It wasn't just bones. It was amazing. They were, you know, they were like ecstatic that it looked so well. It was so well preserved. The bones and the body and they cut it open to, you know, to take what they needed to do and stuff. And some other stuff they wanted to understand about this man. But it's an amazing, but that's the body. It's of no use to anybody, really, in the end. Our flesh, our bodies, okay? You know, we sang that song, I'm yours, blameless. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Are we His this morning? Have we said, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my spirit. I give you all I have, Lord. Are we willing to pay the price of seeing the gospel being preached forth for people's lives to be changed? You might say, well, the Lord can't use me. Yes, He can and wants to. Sometimes what we think of ourselves is sometimes less than what God thinks of us. Because He sees tremendous things in each and every one of us. Because it says that we are made in what? The likeness or the image of Him. When they made Adam, it said, let us make man into our own image. Talking about who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of them. Like us. Like us. And we're made like Him. We are important to Him. And He has something arranged for each and every one of us. You might say, well, Pastor, am I going to do God's will? Well, really, in the end, it's up to us. It's up to us in the end. Because you see, God has given each and every one of us a free will. that if we want to obey, even though we've given him our hearts, we still have a free will. I wish we didn't. To obey him or not obey him. To obey him with our finances, to not obey him with our finances. And boy, he'll show us. He'll show scriptures. He'll let things happen, whatever. And that's in all things. But are we dedicated to the things of God through our lives? Here we see in scripture, in John chapter 18, we'll read that one first, the betrayal. And I'll read some of it, then I'll probably just say a little bit and then go on to the other one. But look at Judas. When first verse, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth and his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. And Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus therefore knew all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, what seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto him, then I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And soon then, as he had said unto him, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of them which you gave me, having I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And said Jesus unto Peter, Put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Now here we see, and I know I'm not going to go a little further, but because I want to get to the other. Here we see Judas. Judas, if you want to say, ate with Jesus. Because it says that Jesus broke bread with him. You know, Jesus and Judas broke bread together. They had, you know, whatever, all that scenario. Judas was with Jesus. Yet for 30 pieces of silver, he sold out to him. And it says that when they went to get Jesus, that Judas went up, kissed him, all that stuff. They did that in the Old Testament or even parts of the New Testament. That was their custom. It's like a handshake, basically. But they would kiss on the cheeks, on the sides. And it says they took Jesus. And we know that was the start of him being crucified and all that stuff. I don't want to get into that. Thank God he did it because we needed it. Because without Jesus, we're nothing. Without the crucifixion, we're zero. Without Jesus paying the price, we are absolutely nothing. Because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus. But look on the flip side of Judas. It says that Judas was so heavy at heart at what he had done because he betrayed the best friend he ever had. And he knew he did wrong. But he did it for political reasons, number one. And he also did it for the love of money. You know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And you can see it. Everything is the root of all evil in the world is the love of money. Because you'll see, family will sell out family member. Companies will sell out employees. I mean, it's just because of the love of money that is there. Because what they have, they want to keep and they want more. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money. You know, we often think, well, it's not wrong. Jesus loves rich people, and Jesus wants you to have money. Jesus would love for you to be rich. But you see, we should never let money have our hearts, the love of it. And you might say, well, how do you know if you love it? When you can't give it up, you love it. You love it. God says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is what we're to love first. That means everything within us. It says Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And he was so heavy at heart that he didn't even use it for anything. It says that he went before the council and he threw the 30 pieces of silver because he didn't want it, because he knew he had done wrong. And it says that they went and they bought a pauper's grave site, basically, for people to be buried at with that money. But it says, look at Judas. It says Judas went and hung himself. Suicide is a horrible thing, any form of it. Someone that hangs themselves or shoots themselves or takes drugs and overdoses and all that stuff. None of it's good. And the devil will play with young people. I used to think just young people, basically, but old people, middle-aged people, that means anybody. And he'll try to make people think that they're useless to society, that no one cares about them. You might as well just get rid of yourself. But that's not truth. That is not truth. You are very useful to society. God has said you are very valuable. You are so valuable that he let his son's blood to be shed for you. He sent his son for us. We are very valuable. It says that Judas hung himself. You know how he did that? He went on a gorge. It's called like a cliff type thing. They had a tree that would go over it. And he hung a rope there. And he put it around his neck and he jumped off. And the rope stayed hooked to the tree. And he hung himself. And it says that his body stayed there for a while. Because after a while, the body decayed and fell to the ground and split wide open. That's the kind of death he died. You might say, well, did Judas make it to heaven? I can't say if he did or not. You might say, well, how do you know that? Well, because if he asked Jesus to forgive him, he made it to heaven. Because I know this from what I've read and what I've understood, when somebody hangs themselves, they don't die instantly. You know? I mean, it takes a little while. It's not like, you know, when somebody shoots themselves and it's gone. You know, it's just like Jelaine was telling me, where's Joey? In their school activities, they had a was it with history, something about the guillotine? Two guys wanted to see how long it would take to actually somebody die. When the guillotine, it comes down, chops your head off, how long do you actually have before you die? And so the guy said, well, one guy said, I'll do it. And so he said, when it comes down and cuts my head off, I'm going to keep blinking till I lose consciousness and die. And so when the guillotine came down, it cut his head off, and they hurry up and took. Now, this is truth, y'all. I mean, this is a hard price to pay. They took it, and he blinked how many times? 16 times. Now, did he blink one, two? I don't know if he did it quickly or not, but he blinked 16 times. So he was conscious at least for 16 seconds, if you want to say it that way. So we don't know if Judas made it to heaven or not. Because you see, let me tell you another story. I was talking years ago to somebody that had tried to kill themselves. And this is what happened. You know, she had gotten fed up with life, basically. She was a Christian, loved God, but just the scenario of things. and the devil and maybe just life. You know, things get hard sometimes. And so, you know, she decided, I can't go on anymore. And so she took a lot of medicine, overdosed. And she told me, after she took it, she laid on her bed. And tears started to come out of her eyes. And she said, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. What it was the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And they somehow someone came and they hurry up and took her to the hospital. They pumped out her stomach, did all those things. But honestly, if she would have passed away, most of the church world would have said she didn't make it to heaven. But that's not truth. She would have. Because she asked the Father to forgive her. And he had mercy and he got all that scenario. You see, there's always hope in God. There's always hope. We might think, well, there's no hope at all. But our God is a God that brings hope to people. Some of you may be thinking about certain actions. Turn to God. Just keep turning to Him. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You probably could share better than me. But turn to Him and ask Him to move upon those situations. And you'll find a God that will change things like you've never seen Him change things before. I want to turn to the Samaritan woman. Very interesting, because she lost all hope. She lost all hope. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 4, which is only a few pages down. Don't let the devil steal your life. 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 I say, Pastor, why are you saying I just feel an urgency? Do not let the devil steal your life and make you think that ending it is the best thing. It's not. It's not. It's not. There's no way. Committing suicide, honestly, is a very selfish act. Because what we're thinking about, because I'll put everybody. When someone thinks of suicide, they're thinking of taking care of themselves and relieving them of the pain and the situation that's going on. And I can understand that. We could all understand that. That's truth. Because some people can bear pain and the heaviness of things better than others. And sometimes the pain is so unbearable that it overwhelms people. But don't let the devil steal from you what God has given you. It says that God has given us what the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says that what Jesus comes to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil steal your life spiritually or physically. Use your talents. Use your abilities for the kingdom of God. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, use your life to please God and to give Him the honor and the glory that He so deserves. Let God be honored and praised through your life. In John chapter 4, look at this. I'm going to read some of it and then I'm going to just talk about certain things. It says, the first verse, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. That's a lesson right there. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then came he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Jacob. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which was about 12 noon, according to Jewish time, okay? Now there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. First of all, I want to let you know, Jesus was a Jew. We know that, okay? Jews didn't mix with Samaritans. Jews thought of Samaritans like dogs. But God and the Godhead doesn't think of any person as a dog. Because Jesus knew by the Holy Spirit that he had to go through Samaria, led by the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. You know why? Because he knew what was going to happen. He knew foreknowledge that what was going to happen. Oh, sorry. Just to wake you up. That's all. I saw a few of you kind of dozing off a little bit. I said, well, we need to do it right then. You better be careful. You might be sitting under the chair that has electricity on it. So if I hear you holler, don't worry about it. Just keep on going. No. Execution. No. I love you guys. But Jesus went through Samaria because you know why? There was a woman that needed him. There's a lesson to be learned here. As you call upon him, doesn't matter what nationality we are upon the earth, we can be Jewish, Gentile, whatever, that God will come in to help us. That God is that close. All we need to do is say, help, Lord. I need help, and God will come. Now, we may not like the way he comes sometimes, because we like to have it planned out. Well, man, look, I'm going to call upon God, and he's going to come and do it, boom, 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 this way. And we realize as we call upon him, God comes in and does it totally reverse, boom, 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 that way. Because you see, he's God. We're not gods. He's in control. He does things the way he wants to do it. He says for us to intercede, pray, to seek him, and he will do what needs to be done to help us. But here this Samaritan woman, which he should not have even spoken to, he's walking through Samaria, which, now this is sad. There was Samaria, Judea, and what they would do, the Jewish people, they would go totally around to get to where they needed to be in the, on the north side. They would not go through Samaria. Talk about racism. That's racist. That's bad. In the kingdom of God, there's only born again people and people that aren't born again. Christians and non-Christians. That's all people in the kingdom. That's all in the world. That's how God sees it. That's all. But he was walking, and he gets to this well called Jacob's Well. Jacob, in the Old Testament, remember Jacob? They built the well for the cattle and all that stuff. He gets to the well. Now, Jesus is physically tired because he was in a physical body. I mean, he was tired. I mean, walking and walking and walking. Sits there, but he has nothing to draw water with. And I know we often, well, he's the Son of God. Can't he just... He was limited. He limited himself in ministry in that body. And all of a sudden, this little Samaritan woman comes. And she's going up to the well and she's, oh, it's a Jewish person. Oh, I have to stay away. And he tells her, come, come. She's not used to that happening. Because you see, this was a woman that had been married how many times? On one hand, 5 times. And the one she's living with is not even her husband. I mean, he, you know. But Jesus saw the need of this woman. And the Holy Spirit had him go where she would be. And he was there at that well needing water to drink because he was thirsty. And she comes at around 12. You know why 12? Because no one else would be there. Because she was ashamed of her life. She had been ostracized by the community. They didn't like her. They could care less about her. They thought she was unworthy. They thought she was dirty. They thought, look at her, how sinful life she lives and what she's done. And look at me, how good I am. Comparing. You know, when we compare, we always compare ourselves to somebody that's a little lower than us to make us look pretty good, you know. But we should never, we should always measure ourselves by the word of God or by Jesus. And we all know we fall short. And we need his mercy and we need his grace. And as he said, she came, he commanded her to come because he cared for her. See, he's a God for all people. No matter what color we are, no matter what color hair we have, what color eyes we have, no matter where we live, he's a God for all people that want him. And she comes and he starts to minister to her. And he tells her those things. And she comes to realize that he is the Messiah. When there's no hope in her life, can you imagine she got up that morning saying, there's nothing here. I'm living a life that is not good. I'm living with somebody. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But you see, even in the state of where she was, God gave her hope. And let me tell you, God is a hope giver. He'll give you hope. Now, we can't have hope in anything in this world except hope in our God. Because everything in this world, if we put our hope in how much we do, activities, if we put our hope in people, if we put our hope in preachers, if we put our hope in buildings, if we put our hope in religion, it will fail us. It, not just if it will fail us, when will it fail us? It will fail us. But I know this, if our hope is in our God and what he can do, he will never fail us. Because no matter what happens in our lives, we know that God has our best interests at heart. Because you know why? He loves you and he loves me. It says in scripture, John 3:16, we know that great scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And perish, not just physically. It can mean both, but perish spiritually. Our hope is in him. When she realized it's the Messiah. Can you imagine the relief of her spirit? What was going on in her heart, in her life? And he goes, go tell them. And it says that she goes back to the town. And she becomes the greatest evangelist they ever had. And she's telling him, come see the man that told me about my whole life, but yet forgave me. Come see the Messiah that has given me hope. Come see the Messiah. And people started to come and listen. People, everyone's important in the kingdom of God. You are important. You might not think, oh man, pastor, me? You are important. You are important to God. You're important to the community. You're important to me, my wife. You're important to us. Because there are certain things that God has placed in you. The abilities, the talents, the things that you possess within you. That you're not here just by happen chance. You're here upon the earth in America. Because God ordained it for you to be born when you were born, to live a life the way you live, for us to look to him for salvation and help. Because you are important to God. You are valuable to him. And I know sometimes we can think, my God, I don't know about this, you know. We're doing our daily stuff. We're trying to live for God. We're asking God to move. You know, problems are coming from this way, that way, and some we don't want. And we just want to run. Run and hide. Say, Lord, when the storm's over, let me know. Huh? But it's like the little story says. There was a big storm that brewed. Heard a pastor say this. Big storm. Huge storm. And in the hollow of this log was a nest. And there was a bird that was just chirping away. In the midst of the storm, God still can give you a song of refuge. In the midst of the storm, God still can give you a song to sing about Him. In the midst of the storm, God still can give you hope. In the midst of the storm, God still can give you joy and happiness. As I said in the beginning, what the devil wants to do is destroy our faith and hope in our God and to make us think that God can't do anything. But yes, He can. Yes, He can. Our hope needs to always be in what God can do. That's why it's so important, people, to go back in Scripture and read. Oh, I'm sorry. Leave it alone. Oh, I don't know. Amen. That's why it's so important to go and read what God has done. Use that one. That's why it's so important to go in Scriptures and read what God has done. Because it builds your faith in Him. When we read about how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, that's amazing, people. I know we've all seen, you know, the Ten Commandments. I mean, a great movie. You know, and the deliverance. We've all seen the pictures of how the Red Sea opened up. And how they walked, not on a muddy ground, but on dry ground. It's an amazing thing that the children of Israel came out. And there was a pillar of fire by night that was over the children of Israel. You know why? The fire was there at night. To keep them warm, because it got cold at night. God took care of them. And during the day, there was a cloud by day that was over them. You know why there was a cloud? Because the sun would have scorched them and beat upon them. They didn't have Gatorade, you know, to rely on. You know, every day on my other job, postal, I walk about 18 miles a day. Every day. And you need water, Gatorade, stuff like that to keep your body hydrated. Now, Saturday was great, the weather. But you need those things. But you see how God took care of them? Can you imagine, people, how God will take care of you? What kind of God would have thought of putting a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day? You know what kind of God? A God that cares and loves His people and can bring hope to His people. People, He'll give you the cloud you need and the fire you need to get the job done for Him. Our hope needs to be in Him and what He did at Calvary's cross. Amy, would you please stand just for a minute?
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you an important question today. Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you know him? You might say, Pastor, I've given my heart to him, but I don't know where I stand today. Get things right with him. Get things right with him. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give him your heart this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I declare you Lord over my life. Your will be done in me and through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, I appreciate you guys, and I thank God for you and love you. And always remember, there's hope in God. Always remember that. Amen. Father, Lord, I thank you for your people. And Father, I pray that your anointing and your presence would rest upon them, Lord. Father, protect each and every one of us this week. Help us to accomplish your will, Lord God. The power and the presence of your anointing to be upon us, Lord. Your will be done in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, I thank you for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen.